with you. Good morning, everyone. Some of our team is here with us. Some of them were not able to be here or in other places. Ashley Winterstrom, who many of you know, has been working with us intimately on this project, as well as Chantel Miner, who's here with us, and Chelsea Klein, who is a CHW that was participatory in this, and Danielle Rohr and Steve Shelton, who are also part of this project. We have, of course, nothing to disclose. This is kind of just that one. The reason we took on this project is we know that community health workers are out in the clinics, especially when they're working in primary care, and that one in five adults in the United States is going to experience some type of mental health disorder. And they're like, it's just a reality. We also know that often there are mental health disorders that are often comorbid with chronic disease. And so those community health workers working in our clinics with chronic disease and other types of clients are definitely going to be running across this. And primary care, in a lot of instances, is acting kind of as a de facto mental health system because of the shortages and the inability to access others. We looked at community health workers because we think they're fabulous, and we know that they're trusted and that many times they're going to pick up on things that may be off or things that may be going on that the primary care provider may not get a chance to in that short window of time that they get to see them. And they haven't really been utilized widely in this role. And so we wanted to pilot that and just to see how that would play out and what the training would be required and how that would play out in the setting. So we're actually in our fourth year of a pilot project. The first year we looked at four sites in Texas. They were more local sites, and we had the benefit, which was kind of an added to us. One of our sites asked if their LPC, their licensed professional counselor, could participate in the class because they wanted to see what went on. And that has been a huge benefit to us. Because as we've gone out and expanded it and went to the others, if we had pushback or questions from clinicians, we were able to refer them back to the clinician who actually participated in the class for her feedback, and that's been very helpful. In phase two, which we're currently in progress currently, it was a multi-state project. We have CHWs that have been trained in Texas, Arizona, and Wisconsin. Different types of sites. The first group was mostly FQHCs. The second group, we're looking at FQHCs. There's some in university health systems, community-based clinics, and others, so we could see kind of how it worked out in other places. The CHW training itself is designed to be a supplementary training. It is not designed to be a core training. It's designed to be continuing education in our state, but in other places, an add-on training. It's a 48-hour curriculum. It was designed with CHW input. We think that's vital and important. And so we had CHW partners in the development and piloting and feedback loops on those. You can see some of the topics. It's 12 four-hour modules is what it breaks down to. But we did a lot of how to support behavioral health change, how to better understand some common behavioral health issues. We did use a modified ESPRT model. So if you don't know anything, that's screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment. So they were, of course, taught how to use basic screening tools, the referral process, who to refer to, what's the best way, who needs to go to who, and then support for the CHWs in their self-care, because we know that the stress in this process. We also knew that it was really important to have the supervisors better understand the role of the CHW and what training. In phase one, we did a one-day training. We brought in all the supervisors and managers into one-day training, brought in consultants, and had a full-day training on how to supervise CHWs, specifically in behavioral health, and how they kind of fit into the system. The second phase, we modified and did on-site visits to all of the sites, and we actually went out and met with project staff. We sat down with the whole team. We brought in the management, supervisors, clinicians, and the CHW all together in the same room and had these discussions. And so, and we'll talk about that a little bit in the lessons learned. The evaluation piece, I'm going to get Chantel to come and talk about. She did that piece because we wanted to separate out the training from the evaluation to make people make sure they're comfortable with that. She can go through some of that.
Good morning, everyone. In addition to the pre- and post-tests and the evaluations that were provided during the training, the participants, both the CHWs as well as our supervisors, were given self-reporting surveys that ranged in questions from the activities that the CHWs were participating in, also the services that they were providing, and the specific issues that they may come across with the clients that they're serving. So they were able to use the scale to be able to provide that information to us. Additionally, they were interviewed face-to-face as well as using web-based services. So the first phase of the project, we were able to do everyone face-to-face because we were in the same state as they were. So this particular phase, we had to improvise, and we were able to use the web-based services that we used to provide a portion of the training to also do those interviews. So then we transcribed that information, and then we did a coded process by two researchers, and we also do this in a 3, 6, and 12 month process. And so to continue this phase, we are coming up before the end of the year to finish the second step of that process of finding out those results. So the information that we found in surveying the individuals, and I'll let you all take a look at this and just point out a couple of things. So the roles that the CHWs are already currently doing, such as documentation, as well as providing education services, since they were already performing those activities, the training that they received for behavioral health provided additional skills to help them better serve the needs of their clients. And as I just mentioned, those that participated, the 8 community health workers as well as the 4 supervisors in the phase of the project where we are now, have completed their 3-month interviews, and they will have their 6-month interviews coming up again before the end of the year so we can continue the momentum and progress of the project. In the interviewing process, there were perceptions of the training that were given by both CHWs and supervisors. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to read one or two from the slides that we have provided. So from a community health worker that has participated in the training, they said that it gave me the experience needed to be able to work with my patients and talk to and screen them in different areas of need. You have some with substance abuse or are depressed, it helped a lot. Another comment from one of our community health workers in terms of interaction with the team, with my behavioral health clients, to actually take them in person and help them make the appointment, meet with their counselor, and make sure they're going to come back and they feel comfortable. A supervisor perspective in terms of interaction with the team, they actually get referrals directly from the medical team and the promotor CHW. In turn, if they do a screening, set up that screening, and it makes it part of the medical record. Then that medical record is available to be viewed by a medical provider, and the medical provider can ask questions if they have it, and they can also use it as a tool for further diagnosis if need be. And they also communicate almost on a daily basis with our social workers as well. In terms of CHW roles in behavioral health, in terms of screening, for a community health worker, they mentioned during the interview process that I do have a conversation with them and that I opt to do the PHQ-9, and depending on the scores or the situation that we're engaged in, I refer them to the social worker. A supervisor mentioned that they were having them do a PHQ-9 on all of their patients 65 or over, in that particular setting, they were trying to make sure that they targeted a group of their clients to be able to continue interacting on a behavioral health level. So that's what they've been doing: screenings, some brief intervention, and they provide some emotional support. And the general CHW roles apply to behavioral health. On an average day, I call patients to follow up on whether they're taking their medication or if they're taking any new medication and how they're feeling. Or following up on PHQ-9, trying to see if it may be the need of their new medication that the doctor has prescribed for their depression. I check on them to see if it's working or how they've been feeling. So being able to experience what the community health workers are doing to implement the behavioral health project during the interview process is very insightful in our continued planning and efforts to continue working in the behavioral health field. And I'm going to turn it back over to Leslie to continue the process. Thank you.
And actually, they didn't load my new PowerPoint. The slide has changed slightly. I promised I put it in, but it didn't get in there. Actually, we wanted to because I know for many of us here to give you an idea of some examples of where the rubber meets the road. And so Chelsea has come with us, and she is actually one of the CHWs that was trained in the behavioral health module. And to ask her to come and give you some examples in her day-to-day encounters about how she's been able to utilize this training to better serve the clients that we have, that she has in her facility. And then I guess that.
Good morning. So as Leslie said, I'm here to show you how we've been able to apply what we've learned through this training and this pilot program in the clinical setting. And it has been extremely beneficial. We have identified several patients that probably would have walked out of our doors and never have been diagnosed by the provider or even felt comfortable to see the provider about their different situations. Fortunately, we have a clinical care coordinator on staff as well as two CHWs and a licensed professional counselor. And every morning we do huddles in our clinical setting that allow us to go through our scheduled patients and identify those that might need assistance. So with the CHWs, we see patients on a daily basis for different referral sources or resources out in the community that may be beneficial to them, patient assistance programs, application assistance, so we're the resource. A couple weeks ago, we had a patient that came in that was going to be trying to come off of synthetic marijuana. And in the huddle, he was identified, and we were able to help him by coming to me first. I recognized what was going on, and I said, I have tools for that. I have some information on synthetic marijuana that I can give to you, which was our LPC, that can possibly help you, and that way you don't have to go research on the subject to find different resources. So I was able to give her a handout from the toolkit that we built during the pilot program on synthetic marijuana use, and also go online and find a Marijuana Anonymous program that might benefit him as well. Another way that we were able to apply it is during the pilot program, I had a patient come in that was needing assistance on application assistance. And through the interview process, I noticed that she was a domestic violence victim. That was the topic that we had just discussed the day before during the class, and I was able to identify her, not out her or make her feel uncomfortable, and refer her via warm handoff to the LPC to get additional help. The final way that we've been able to apply it, and this one is close to my heart, is over a six-month process, we were able to assist a patient that was diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer with getting assistance through MD Anderson for her chemotherapy, radiation, and her housing for while she was getting her treatment. It was a very lengthy process, but the way we helped was not just in a clinical setting. CHWs are also there to be on the outside as well. Myself and the LPC drove her to her appointments because there is a disparity and there our lack of transportation in our area. So I sat there with her on her first day of chemotherapy and radiation. I went with her. I took her there because they had said that her housing was going to be declined. And I told her, because she called me on Friday, not to worry about it, that I would take care of it, that I would do what I needed to do to get it right for her, that that was not what she needed to worry about. I also let her know, you know, that I would be getting with the LPC and I would have her call her because I noticed that she was in a mental crisis. She was upset. She didn't know what she was going to do. She had no money. And when I went, we talked to the social worker that Monday. I got her her 6 weeks of housing, and she was able to do her chemo and her radiation. And the relief on her face whenever she finished that first session, and the tears in her eyes, and the joy that she was not alone, that made my role as a CHW so much more important to me than anything else that I've done. And I'm glad to say she's cancer-free, and she'll be having her follow-up CT this month, so it works. It's just finding the utilization and making the connection between the providers and knowing how the CHWs can be a part of the clinical team that makes it so much more important. So I'll turn it back over to Leslie.
And I wish I could have brought all the CHWs with us here, because it's every site was so different, and their role and how they interacted in every site was very different. Some of the lessons learned while we did this course, the course was delivered partially online in a web-based classroom. So it was live, interactive, all those things, but it was distance because we were obviously in three different states. But there was a portion of the training that really needed to be delivered live. And so for that portion, we brought everybody together and did that in a live, interactive sense. But we did get feedback from all the CHWs. They would have loved to have had the whole training live. And we understand that. And had it been practical, would have loved to have done that. Role play is crucial, especially in this particular topic. We did a whole lot of role play. One, to make the community health workers very comfortable, and the other was to make the other providers in the clinical team comfortable, that we had gone through different scenarios and that CHWs really knew where their fence ended and where the other pasture started. Okay, and so that was a lot of it, is we talked about different scenarios, what happens with this, and how do you address that comfortably for both the patient and yourself. Again, it is designed as a complementary training. It's not a be-all, end-all training. It's specific to behavioral health. And that it does require a skilled instructor. The class itself, and any of the CHWs that enjoy, they bond very quickly. The information and the sharing is incredible. And you want to respect that and include that, but you also have to keep it from becoming group therapy. And so it does require a little bit of a different skill set to teach that. And then the last thing I will talk about is, just briefly, because I have 1 second, is the support. It made a huge difference from when we did the first time where we brought people in to have them trained, and when I went out to the sites to actually sit down with the team and explain the training, and in some instances reinforce community health workers in general, and actually brainstormed with them for their specific site and their specific needs and what they had on staff, made a huge, huge difference. And Kim can probably tell you how big of a difference it makes. She's actually one of our sites, so you can ask her about how big of a difference that made. But having that support of the CHW and the whole clinical team and getting everybody on the same page and moving the same direction was just imperative. Once the training was complete. So we're looking at now finishing up our surveys and the interview process, and then looking at how we can distribute the curriculum to be helpful nationally. This is all of our contact information. If you have any questions or anything, please contact us and let us know, or questions after the session. We'll be glad to answer anything that you have. Thank you.